And then we'll finish up with making and defending expert challenges, strategies for handling Robinson and Daubert motions. And Kelsey will get us started with building a strong expert testimony.
Thank you, Judge Brown. So I wanted to start by talking through what I find typically happens with working with experts, and it is very ineffective, but somehow I find myself stuck in this situation quite a lot. So you determine that you need a certain subject matter expert pretty early on in the case. You take some time looking for an expert. You find one. You talk to them, have a preliminary discussion. This is usually around the time a disclosure's due. And then there's this lull where you're working on other parts of the case. You serve a pretty general disclosure thinking, okay, I'll get the details worked out later. And then right before your expert is deposed or your expert report is due is when you are figuring out with the expert what their opinion's going to be and the facts that are going to support that opinion. When I'm on top of things, I don't do the process this way because it creates a lot of problems. I have experienced each of these myself, unfortunately. Sometimes the best way you can learn is by making mistakes. So when you take that approach of sort of working with your expert in a lackadaisical manner and not figuring out what their opinion is until you absolutely have to have it for the report or for their deposition, you can run into these kinds of problems. You're often going to be missing critical facts that your expert needs to rely on for his or her opinion, and the expert is only going to alert you that they need those facts when they're working on their report or you're preparing for the deposition. And at that point, it can be too late to get the discovery you need for those facts. I've also encountered situations where in the process of preparing for an expert's deposition, the expert learns a fact that he or she tells me is actually bad for his opinion. And, you know, we should have known that earlier, so we could have worked around it or incorporated the fact. The expert sometimes needs additional documents that you've never asked for, and a lot of times the expert discovery part of discovery happens towards the end, and so you may be in a situation where now it's too late to ask for documents that your expert is telling you he or she wants. And then last, your expert may actually miss good facts that you know, but the expert doesn't know and support his or her opinion because you two just have not been communicating as you've been working up the facts in the case. And, you know, I don't think this happens out of any intent. It's just you get busy with other things and the expert really comes to the forefront of your mind when the deadline is approaching. But that's how you run into all of these problems. And I think of an expert report or an expert deposition just like a brief. You're not going to know if the opinion or in the briefing context, the argument works until you actually sit down to write it. And that, like with briefing, that can't be an a day or 24 hours before the deadline. It's got to be far enough in advance that you can actually evaluate how the argument is going. It's the same with expert opinions, or and whether that's in a report or a deposition.
Okay, and to avoid problems like that, the main thing that you should do is from the very beginning of your case, work to build a strong factual basis for your expert, for your expert's opinion. Work with your expert to do that. And a couple of things that, a few things that you should remember in that regard. First, expert opinions must be based on assumptions grounded in facts and not speculation. You need to develop the key facts in discovery to support your expert's opinion, and they need to be specific facts. An example of when the facts were not specific enough to support the expert's opinion and it was fatal to the to a party's case is in the Horizon Health Corporation versus Acadia healthcare case out of the Texas Supreme Court from a couple of years ago, and the court held in that case that evidence concerning profitability of company contracts generally does not support a lost profits opinion about profitability of a particular employee's contracts sold. The case concerned an employee of a healthcare contract management firm who left to join a competitor. The plaintiff, which was the healthcare contract management firm, hired an expert to prove lost profits damages from the theft of their employee. But the court held that in the absence of evidence showing that the profit associated with that particular employee's sales, the number of contracts he might have sold is meaningless and leaves insufficient evidence to determine whether the firm lost any profit as a result of his departure. Also, you have to be sure that your expert doesn't forget to address controverting facts, and that can bite you in a couple of different ways. In the Burroughs case, from the Supreme Court, the court held that an expert's opinion about causation improperly relied on assumptions that varied from uncontroverted facts.